wonderful conference organized by our Bhakti College. Maharani was in charge of organizing this, well, we call it Leith Conference, which is Conference of the Soul, or Who Am I Conference. It's the second in the series. We had one last year, and that was successful. This one was more than successful. It took place in an auditorium downtown, right on university campus in downtown Budapest. And when I got there this morning, there was this huge queue outside the building in which the program was. I didn't know what the queue was. And when I got in, I saw that it was actually a queue to get into our place, which was already completely full with about 300 people. I don't know the exact figures, but there must have been about 400 people there. And interestingly enough, they stayed from 10 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. Even the very last debate, or not really debate, but discussion, which was myself and members of three other faiths, the hall was still full. It reminded me of the festival days in the early 90s when people just couldn't get in to the hall. They were sitting on chairs, standing, sitting down on the ground, and this was just like that as well. In fact, we had to turn some people away from the gate. It was just not possible to accommodate everyone who had come. So it was very good. There were the theme, by the way, the topic was free will and destiny. And the topic matter itself, as well as the way it was advertised, seemed to really appeal to the people and drew a really good crowd. And because I was over there from 9 in the morning till 6 at night, I couldn't do a podcast yesterday. Just a brief rundown. We had invited different non-devotees to give presentations. For instance, the first one was a very famous doctor. He was a geneticist, and obviously he was talking about how people's will, as well as their destiny, is encoded within DNA. And that was followed by a discussion by Satchisuddha, who pointed out that the presentation of both will and fate from the genetic point of view didn't answer the question about where the DNAs come from and who encoded behavior within the DNAs, even if that's accepted as the cause for people's behavior. And then there was a really nice debate. By debate, I mean it was a one-on-one debate between Ishwar Krishna, who's really one of our best preachers and very good debater. He really thinks on his feet. And a psychiatrist, who's a young man and has his own television show, very, very popular with the youth. And, of course, his point of view was that we determine our own fate and we can be whatever we want to be, and there's no such thing as predestiny, but just free will. And that was great. Both of them were standing. They had a very good moderator who was a radio presenter. And for anyone who thought in terms of logic and reason, it was really obvious that Ishwara Krishna presented sane and cogent answers to these questions, whereas our psychiatrist friend raised questions, made statements, but had no real answers. And that was great. It was lively. It was inspiring. And in the afternoon, we had one sociologist talking about the importance of parents in determining the behavior of children. In other words, that we as individuals are molded, our will is molded by how we're raised by our parents. And that was sort of a psychological explanation of how we have will, but our will is determined by our environment, at least in this life. And then that was followed by Gaur Krishna, who presented that just explaining behavioral patterns by experiences in this life didn't necessarily answer the whole picture, and therefore he went back to the previous lifetimes as the cause of why things happen to us, and particularly described the family unit and marriage as the context of his discussion on free will, that people should exercise their will to execute their duty, and that in the Vedic culture, by husband and wife executing their duty and not acting on the basis of sense gratification, infatuation, or just being and remaining in love, they were able to calm the influence of past activities, the reaction of past activities, and therefore make a sane beeline to achieve the purpose of life, which would be spiritual evolution and spiritual development. And then, of course, we had a roundtable discussion between myself and the chief rabbi, and there was one representing the head of the Muslim faith, as well as a evangelical theologian. And that was good. Different religions, versions of what determined the way we are and the way we behave. Is it just our free will? Is it fate, the laws of the Lord, a combination of the two? And while there were many points of agreement, there were really a lot of theological differences between us. I find it really difficult to moderate and direct these roundtable discussions with so many people, four people, although we had already had a briefing meeting some weeks back with all of these individuals. It was good, but the real result of these conferences can be judged in the long run by how many people take to chanting Hare Krishna or become interested in Krishna consciousness, purchase books. And the news, good news was in that regard, was that all of our prasadam disappeared. Everything that we had prepared for the conference was all sold. And we had a book table in not the most easily accessible place, but they sold lots and lots of books. Bhakti's own books are our own Tattva publications. And we sold out on Bhagavad Gita's. Five Bhagavad Gita's were sold as well. So Srila Prabhupada would gauge the value of such meetings by the result. And there were certainly results in terms of people's commitment to Krishna consciousness. It's really early morning right now, and I'm just packing up to go to Radhadesh. We're going to be having a weekend over there, meeting with representatives of different national Hindu groups around Europe in order to formulate a constitution for a pan-European Hindu council which will be able to represent the needs of the Hindu community to the European Union, which is very important because the European Parliament takes input from many other religious organizations, and unfortunately Hindus are not there. And whereas in Krishna consciousness we are in connection with the greater Hindu culture nationally, because there's no such body on a European level, therefore our voice, neither that of other types of Hindu organizations, is not felt continentally, which over here in Europe, if you know, is becoming more and more of a deciding voice as to what happens both on the continent and the individual countries as far as religious rights and so on. So I'll be there until Monday night. Monday I'll also go to Brussels and meet with some of the members of the other groups who already have their offices over there. Brussels is the headquarters of the EU. And let's see how easily I can send podcasts. I'll try to continue, actually, today with a very exciting theme which I got from a Bikesh Sharma in regards to the Tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how people in India, caste Brahmins, challenged Lord Chaitanya's position as a Supreme Personality of Godhead and his avatar. And I think that will be a highly educational, very interesting to devotees. But it's 3:15 and I have to leave in 45 minutes, believe it or not, to catch a 6 a.m. Flight. So let me all get back to you later on, if I can. And Hare Krishna.